we'll get started here. Can't stay up too late on account of the flu bug. It has really worked on me this week, and I give it to my wife, and she don't want it, so I don't know what I'm going to do with it next, but nevertheless, here we are, and may the Lord help us through this thing, because it has been a little problem, and I've had the flu shot, but evidently it wasn't exactly what I was supposed to have gotten, but you know how that is. They kind of speculate, I guess, on what you're supposed to get. And what I've got now was two different things, I'm pretty sure. But nevertheless, we'll continue on. So if you hear some coughing in the background, Miss Bobby's sitting here at the table with me, and she's got it too, so we'll cough and hack along, and I hope we can get something out of this tonight and be able to praise the Lord for it. So bow with me, and we'll go to the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the opportunity and the privilege coming this way this evening. Lord, we thank you so much for all you do. We realize that you are the provider and that you provide us with these things that we have and cherish. And Lord, we just thank you for it so much. We thank God at that time that he sent his son into a world that was very bad. And to do that for us that we could not do for ourselves. And Lord, we thank you so much for that precious gift of the blood of your dear son. And as we get into the study tonight, Lord, we hope that somehow in some way that we can tie this together, make it really more real in understanding as our walk and what our walk should be. Going back, Lord, picking up times from, say, 1,000 years before you sent Christ to the earth. Lord, we just honor you and cherish the fact that you have chosen us to be part of your family. We'd ask that you guide and direct now, and Lord, be with all those that need a touch as ourselves. Go with us and guide us in this hour. In Christ's name we ask. Thank you so much. Okay. As I said last week, let's go back to 1 Kings. And we picked up last week with 1 Kings 3. And I wanted to go to 1 Kings 6. And, you know, it seems like there's just so many things that we need to look at quite often to get a perspective as to where we are today. And I think this is a good place here because there's things that's being given to us here, and some of the things we've seen over before in 1 Kings 6, and there's some that we just haven't, because I've not really got involved too much in the building of the temple, but to me, it's really one of those things that we need to know a little more about, I think, because there's things here that associates us with our calling today, in a sense. And, I wanted to bring that out if we could, maybe. And So we'll just jump in with both feet and grab on and take off. 1 Kings 6:1. And I don't know how far we'll get tonight because we're going to go to other places and look at a little things as we go along, and but we may not get in the chapter, which I'm pretty sure we won't, but that's beside the point. Maybe the Lord will give us another day. Okay. It says, and it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the 4th year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Ziph, which is the 2nd month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. And so, you know, last week we talked about the fact that we had looked at the charge that David had given his son. And David was allowed to make the charge. But then again, God occasionally comes forth and reminds Solomon of these things. And, you know, he told Solomon that in a dream, what can I give you? And Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding that he might judge Israel, because he was a young man, 20 years old, and he was feeling like he wasn't up to the task, maybe. And God was very pleased with that. There was 5 or 6 things that I think we counted plus to that aspect of things. And certainly it was... And then he also promised Solomon that there would not be another king like him again. So, that's saying quite a lot. That when you get involved and God chooses you for something, then God turns around and tells you, you know, you're one of a kind. How great is that? Oh man, that would be shouting right, you know. It would be so great. So he said he began to build. And, you know, before David died, he got this thing started as to the materials and so on that was going to be needed for the house of the Lord and the house of God. And, so the materials were going to arrive from distant places, and it was going to be ready to be put in place. And so the 480 years here doesn't really include, the building or the installation of the furniture. And, I passed over a lot of the things that we found in Kings there, but we want to go back and read, the note on the 480 years, in the Companion Bible. And it's very telling. And, we got involved in this, very early on when I was, coming along and rightly dividing the truth, and I have never forgotten it. But I need to be reminded of it from time to time again, because it was an eye-opener to me, and certainly it has been to others that we've dealt with down through the years. It says, 480th year. Note that the number is ordinal, not cardinal. The 480th year of some longer and larger period, is such the 490 years from the Exodus to the dedication of the temple. Now the difference of 10 years being made up of 7 years in the building, in verse 38, where you find that, and 3 years in furnishing. Dedicated not in the seventh year, full completion took place in the eighth month of 1 year, verse 38, and the dedication in the seventh month of another, in 8:2. So the chronological period, and it goes back, all the way back, to the coming out of Egypt. So the chronological period was 40 years in the wilderness and 450 years under the judges. So, we've just been through some of that, but not very much, but a little. And then 40 years of Saul and 40 years of David, plus 3 years of Solomon in verse 1. So if you add that all up, it comes to 573 years. And that's from 490, I mean 1490 to 917. The mystical of 93 years, when Israel's national position was in abeyance. So there was times when Israel wasn't in the will of God, and he didn't count time. Thus, Judges 3:8 was 18, Judges 3:14 was 20, Judges 4:3 was 7, Judges 6:1 was 40, Judges 13:1, and that total to the 93 years. And it's got a note here. It says the 18 years of Judges 10, 7 through 9 was local and beyond Jordan. And it did not affect the national position. Hence, the 573 minus 93 equals the 480 years. From 873 minus 93. And so that's the way that worked out. And that's reason for a slight discrepancy in what you find, I believe, in Acts and what's here. Let me give him a drink of water. Voices want to go south. So, we have this period of history here that gives us a pretty good description of how God looked at things at that time. It says in verse 2, verse 2, the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 80 cubits, the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. And, you know, there's always a little speculation about cubits because it seems to be, something that wasn't, really, I guess, accurate in the sense of knowing just exactly, you know, what the figures are. But sacred cubic, if you go back to your links and so on, you'll find that there's profane cubic, which is about 17 inches. And then you find that there was a sacred cubic, which is about 25 inches. And I assume that if Solomon was going to build a temple for the Lord, went into this. Really, the important part, but the fact is, you look notes that tells you anything about these windows of narrow life. Right. First Corinthians 13. Yeah. It's on page 17-18. Verses 8 through 13. Faileth. Well, whether they be prophets, they shall fail. Prophets shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Okay, in my back? In my back? Can anybody hear? Okay, I laid a book over my mic. And I am sorry that I did it. I cut myself off. So, where was I? Where did you get the last part? 1 Corinthians 3:11. Okay. 13:11. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And Paul says, for now, we see through a glass darkly. But then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now about it, faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So he says in 1 Corinthians, in this 13, well, we're talking about the world that needed light. We're talking about the house of God, where God is going to dwell. And those that are in darkness doesn't have much use for light. But these narrow windows gives people light that are willing to see and to look. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me to page 15:12 for just a minute. Let's go to John 1. And everybody knows where I'm going there. So turn with me back to John 1. In John 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. So when God gave Adam life, He gave him life. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that came into the world. But the situation in verse 10 was this. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So the windows there were very narrow for mankind. They had the opportunity to hear the giver of life. But you have to be looking for the light in order to get it. And so I think this kind of explains, at least to me, the narrow windows, the windows of narrow light. There, because this is the house of God, and God dwells with man, and it says in verse 13, I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people. He's going to dwell among them or in the midst of them, in this house that Solomon is building for them. And so it has to be done a specific certain way. And, the temple was going to be taking the place of the tabernacle that they carried around with them. And it was going to be basically doubled in size, according to the notes here in the Companion Bible. And so, it was strange that I saw the windows of narrow light. And he talks about in verse 5, and against the wall of the house, he built chambers round about, against the walls of the house, round about, both of the temple and of the oracles, which he made chambers round about. Even the high holy place was going to have chambers on the outside part of it. It was almost like an extra protective barrier, if you will, in that sense. The chambers there are extensions, wings, or if you want to really get a picture of it, I think we'd call it a lean-to. It was built in. And in these stones that they had hewn, they were slots in it for these things to be put in there. And in 5, it says that that was the chamber part. And then the second part of that, where it talks about the oracle. And that was 67, 63 in the strong. And it's, really means a rib, or it's a curvature as an arch. It has a door in it with a slide leaf. You know, the door doesn't necessarily have to be opened to get in and out, but it does have a inner leaf in it that slides back and forth, and it can be opened, But, you know, it's actually something that's in two different pieces that, you know, it may not need to be open full up every time that someone goes and comes. And, verse six says this, and the nethermost chamber was 5 cubits broad, and the middle was 6 cubits broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. For without in the wall of the house, he made narrow rest round about, that the beams should not be fastened in the walls of the house. And, I kind of thought this was, kind of unique too, that, they made these, all these things with these slots, and it reminded me of, my trip to Japan, and how they build a lot of their buildings over there that, susceptible to, earthquakes. And, but here there was a reason for this, and the fact that, whether or not they had an earthquake, had these slots for expansion or retraction or movement. And that nethermost is the bottom. Or that, it's literally at the floor. And this is the only time that word is used. And in the Hebrew, it's tekton. And so they have the narrow recesses, or the slots for expansion and retraction. And, you know, there was nothing hammered here, nothing done on site. All this was done off site. Verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer, nor axe, nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. I wonder how many of us today could undertake a job like that, come to the realization that, and that there was thousands of men working on this thing, so. They all had to have a plan, and it had to be a real good plan. It says, made ready or made perfect beforehand. And if you look up there at 1 Kings 5, and you look up there at 17, in the notes, it said brought or queried great stones. And it said, these stones illustrated the work of the conversion in the center. Now think about this. Hewed out of natural dark quarry, as you find in Isaiah 51:1-2, quarried and cut and carved, for a place in the temple of glory. And there's a little note there that says Ephesians 2:20-22. And we're going to look at that after a while, or a little while. Might not be able to get to it tonight. But, you know, this is not the only undertaking that God has undertook, because his building of himself with body. And, you know, there's circumstances here that it said there was nothing heard, nothing on the job site that was heard. And I'll just make this point now, that in the body of Christ, what he chooses you or me for, there's not going to be anything heard, because his will is going to be it. And so as he builds his body, we are going to be satisfied with that he gives us. Just like Solomon was satisfied with that, they came in from the quarry. But now, the quarry was that of darkened stone, and it was like, it's kind of like the old man, if you will, in a sense. The outside of the building is not what's important. It's what dwells within. And with us, you know, the old man is not important. It's that charity or that love that dwells inside that's important. That's the reason that I wanted to go back to 1 Corinthians 13. It's what's on the inside. God looks at the inner man. He doesn't look at the outer man.
Yeah, yeah.
And so,
I heard you on today. I already been in these chapters.
We see that. And then verse 8. And it says the doors for the middle chamber was in the right side of the house. And they went up with winding stairs into the middle chamber and out of the middle into the third. So having been a fabricator for all these years, and having made everything almost from A to Z, I take it that these winding stairs were spiraling in turns. And also, it says in the Strong's that they're painted. And that's the only place that I can find where it says anything is painted in the temple. And then we get to verse 9. And it says, so he built the house and he finished it. And he covered the house with beams and boards of cedar. So, you know, they had laid the stones for the outside, and they had built the chambers on the outside. They had built the porch on the outside, and whenever they went to the inside of the house, you know, it was, finished with cedar wood and floors of fir or pine, if you will. And we look at verse 10 and says, and then he built chambers against the house, 5 cubits high, and they rested on the house with timbers of cedar. So, we see that the additions here quite often are on the outside of the house, and the inside is dealt with a little further in the chapter here. And he said, and the word of the Lord came to Saul. Well, we're not told exactly how the word came to Saul. Over in chapter 3, it was in a dream. But here, I think this is Solomon getting a charge again that David had given, and that Moses had given other people as far as the charge goes, and the charge that Jacob got when he was over there and he had the dream of the ladder. So, the charge again, it says in 12, concerning this house, which thou art in building. So, he is saying, well, you're building the house then. If thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgment, keep all my commandments to walk in them, then I will perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David, thy father. So, he says, now if you walk in my statutes, in my direction, if you walk according to my will, that's 32:12, that's Yahweh. Because this is the way that God intends for us to go under his direction. So we find that he spake unto David about these things that we're talking about here. Well, where did he talk to him about it? Okay, we're going to go back to 2 Samuel 7, and we're going to look at verses 13 to 16. It's on page 417, if you have a companion Bible. And I'm not going to put my book down on my computer anymore, but 2 Samuel 7:13. Let's see what it's about. Okay. 7:13. Well, let's start at 12. He's talking to David here. And he says, and when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. So, this was one of the places that he talked to David. Now, turn with me to 1 Chronicles. We're going to go forward a little ways. We're going to go to 1 Chronicles, chapter 22. 1 Chronicles 22, if you got a companion Bible, it's page 559. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. We want to read verses 1 through 13. Then David said, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew rock stones to build the house of God. So here's where David began the task of building, getting the materials together to build the temple. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance. And for the Zidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. You know, we've always heard of the cedars of Lebanon. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent. Of fame and glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparations for it. So David prepared abundantly before death. Then he called for Solomon his son, and he charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son is for me. It was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. So David is saying, you know, it was in my mind all the time to do this. But he said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth at my side. So he says to David, behold, a son shall be born unto thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. And he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build a house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes of judgment, which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. And I wonder, with all these people and all this work going on doing these things, this was a very huge task of a young man, but evidently God had chosen Solomon for the job, and he always provides, I think, when he chooses someone, he provides the ability to do that which he wants done. So we find in verse 12, there in 1 Kings 6, said that I spake unto David your father. And he says in 13 there that, as we read before, he said that I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will not forsake my people Israel. So this temple was going to be built in Jerusalem, and among or in the midst of the children of Israel. And he said, and Solomon built the house and finished it. So he did the outside first, and then he did the inside later, because the inside was the part of it that was really, really ornate and really meticulously put together. And in 15 it says, he built the walls of the house within with boards of cedar, both the floor of the house and the walls of the ceiling, and he covered them on the inside with wood, and he covered the floor of the house with planks of fir, what we would call a path. And verse 16. So let's look at 15 there where we have a note in the companion Bible. It says they're covered. Think about this. Note that all the stonework was covered with cedar wood. And the cedar wood was covered with gold. Even so, the saved sinner is covered with Christ's human and divine righteousness imputed to him. And it says, look at Luke 15:22 and Philippians 3:9. So we find that Christ made it possible that we have these things that we can look at and we can realize that we're kind of like this building that's being built here. On the outside is the old dark stone. But those that know Christ, on the inside, it is magnificent. And the building was magnificent. But that's the reason it's said that our bodies need to be a temple of God. Because the Holy Spirit dwells with us in this place. And so, when you look at the dwelling place that God is going to dwell in, you realize that all these stones are covered up. And they're all needed. They're all needed for the strength of the building. But it reminds me of, the stones reminds me of our skin and bones. And these extremities that we have, that we use each and every day of our lives. But God looks at the inner man. He looks at the inner man. So he looks at it that way. Verse 16, and we're close to 16. Well, I knew we wouldn't get as far as I would like to have gotten. He said he built 20 cubits on the side of the house, both the floor and the walls with boards of cedar. He even built them for it within, even for the oracle, even for the most holy place. So the oracle and the place for the ark. And the most holy place was that I'm sure took great emphasis. And the very fact that all of this cedar was going to be covered with gold, was going to be inlaid with gold. and the nails that we talked about a while ago that were going to be used, they weren't used on the job. All this stuff was put together and brought there. And my man's getting very wrought now about her calamity with this flu bug that we got, so we're going to have to call it off for the rest of the day. But we'll pick it up and go on with the rest of the chapter there, but I wanted you to say for a certainty that this wasn't just done out of happenstance, that God was dealing with David, also dealing with Solomon. We'll go ahead and close it. But, you know, the things that we look at here, the things that we see, remind us so much the things that we have to deal with in this day and time. So bow with me and we'll close and I'll get her put to bed because she's gone about as far as she can go tonight. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your love and goodness. And we thank you for the opportunity that we've come this way and shared a bit of your word with your people. And Lord, we just ask that you go with us. Be with each and every one. Watch over them and guide them. Bless them. If it be thy will. We ask for those that are traveling in our group, that we ask for traveling grace for them. Guide and bless. We thank you so much for every opportunity that you give to us to share a portion of your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your precious son. And thank you for his finished work. For doing that for us that we could not do for ourselves. God bless this hour. Christ's name we ask. Amen.